Title: Widen Jungle Snare Snap Using Macro Controls Creatively in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, let's build a macro-driven snare snap widener in Ableton Live 12 that's designed specifically for jungle and drum and bass. The goal here is not just making the snare louder, it's making the snap feel wide and crispy, with controlled ambience, while the body stays solid in mono so it still punches in a club mix. Think of a modern jungle snare as two things happening at once: the body, which is that 150 to 250 Hz meat that anchors the groove, and the snap, which lives mostly in the 2 to 8K zone where the crack and transient edge speak. We're going to widen and excite the snap, without turning the whole snare into a facey mess. Before we touch any widening, start with a snare that already hits in mono. Pick a snare with a clear transient. A classic break snare works, a 909 layer works, anything with a confident front edge. If it's from a break and it feels a little soft, do a quick transient pre-shape. Drop drum bus on the snare and push transient somewhere like plus 10 up to plus 25. Keep boom basically off, maybe 0 to 10% at most. We're not building thump today, we're building snap width. Now, on your snare track or your snare group, and an audio effect rack, open the chain list and create three chains. Name them body, snap, and space. Here's the big concept. This rack is basically an M/S trick without a dedicated N/S device. Body behaves like your mid-channel. It's the definition and impact, and it stays centered. Snap and space behave like side-leaning layers. They create edge and size cues. If the snare ever starts to feel like it isn't starting on time, that's usually because snap and space are too loud relative to body, or because the micro delay modulation is too deep. Let's build the body chain first. At EQ8, low pass it around 3.5 to 5K with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. That means this chain focuses on the punch and ignores the shiny stuff. If it's boxy, do a small bell dip around 200 to 300 Hz. After that, add utility, set width to 0%. Hard mono. Turn on bass mono and set it around 200 Hz. Then set the gain so body is solid but not dominating. A good starting point is a couple dB quieter than the snap chain will be, maybe minus 2 to minus 6 versus snap once everything is built. Now the snap chain, where the wide crack lives. First, EQ8. High pass around 1.8 to 2.5K with a steep slope. Now you're basically isolating the transient edge zone so any stereo tricks only happen up top. If you want more crack, add a gentle bell boost around 3 to 6K, just 1 to 3 dB, medium wide Q. If it gets harsh, don't panic and start turning everything down. Find the harsh spot and make a narrow dip. Common offenders are around 4.5K or around 7.5K, but always sweep and confirm. Next, add saturator. Pick soft sine or analog clip. Start with drive around 2 to 6 dB and compensate the output so it's roughly unity. Teacher tip: try to avoid wider equals louder, because then your automation decisions aren't musical, they're just volume bias. So if you push drive later with a macro, consider mapping an output trim too, so the perceived level stays stable. After saturator, add chorus ensemble. Use chorus mode, not ensemble, because ensemble can get lush and smeary fast, and we're at 170 to 180 BPM where smeared equals timing blur. Set rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz, amount 10 to 25%. Delay times very short, 3 to 8 milliseconds. Feedback basically off, 0 to 10. Width 120 to 170. Mix 10 to 25%. This is important. We are not flanging a snare. We are creating micro width on the transient edge. Then add utility at the end of sap. Set width somewhere like 140 to 180% to start. Trim gain if needed. Now the space chain. Micro room, not washy reverb. Add EQ8. High pass at 2K. Low pass around 10 to 12K so the room doesn't fizz out and fight your hats. Then add hybrid reverb. Use convolution mode. Pick a small room, studio, or ambience impulse response. Keep decay short, 0.2 to 0.5 seconds. Pre-delay 0 to 8 milliseconds. And set wear to 100%, because this is a dedicated parallel chain. After that, add utility, width 160 to 200%. And then pull the chain level down. Start really low, like minus 12 to minus 20 dB. You want it felt more than heard. At jungle tempos, early reflections add size. Long tails add lag. Now we map macros, and this is where it becomes a performance tool, not just a static effect. Open the macro panel. Macro 1 is snap width. Map snap chorus mix so it moves from about 8% up to about 28%. Also mapped Snap utility width from about 120% up to about 190%. Optionally map chorus amount from about 8 to about 24%. And here's a pro move. Include a tiny compensating gain trim somewhere, like a utility gain or saturator output, so when you widen the snap you don't accidentally also jump louder. Keep your ears judging width and vibe, not loudness. Macro 2 is Crackbite. Map saturator drive from about 2 dB up to 9 dB. Optionally map an EQ bell gain in the 4 to 6K zone from 0 up to around plus 2.5 dB. Rule of thumb. If it starts sounding like tearing paper, you're past the sweet spot. At that moment, it's often better to do a small EQ dip at the harsh frequency than to reduce width. Keep the width concept intact. Just make it less painful. Macro 3 is Airlift. On snap, add a high shelf at 8 to 10K and map it from 0 to plus 3 dB. On space, map the low pass frequency so it opens from about 10K up to 14K. Teacher note, be subtle. Jungle hats and rides already live up there. One of the cleanest tricks is to automate airlift only on fills or the last couple beats of a phrase, so you don't brighten the entire two-step pattern nonstop. Macro 4 is Microspace. Because we're 100% wet in the reverb chain, don't map dry slash wet. Map the space chain volume instead. Map space chain volume from minus infinity up to around minus 12 dB. Map hybrid reverb decay from 0.2 up to about 0.6 seconds. Map pre-delay from 0 up to 10 milliseconds. This macro is your in the world knob. Great for transitions, intros, and little one-beat spotlights. Macro 5 is Monoguard. This one is about drop discipline. Map body utility gain from 0 to plus 2 dB. Map snap utility width inversely, so when mono guard goes up, snap width comes down, like 190% down to 130%. Optionally, if you're doing this on a snare bus, map bass mono frequency from about 150 up to 300 Hz. Use this right as the drop hits, especially if the bass is huge and wide. You're basically telling the snare, get centered, stay authoritative. Macro 6 is Motion. On the snap chain, after chorus, add autopan. Yes, even though this is a snare, we're going tiny. Set it to sine, phase at 180 degrees, rate around 0.10 to 0.30 Hz, amount 0 to 12%. Map macro 6 to autopan amount, and optionally map chorus rate from 0.15 up to 0.35 Hz. This gives you that subtle evolving width that feels alive and rolling DNB, without turning hits into obvious left-right wobble. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where macros become musical. In an atmospheric intro, try snap width around 60% and microspace around 50%. The snare feels like it's inside the environment. At the drop, pull microspace down hard, and push monoguard up so the snare becomes direct and centered. Every 16 bars, do a quick ramp of snap width for a fill, then snap it back right on the downbeat. That open then slam shut move is pure momentum. And in pre-drop tension moments, increase motion slightly so the stereo image starts breathing. It's a psychological cue. Something is about to happen. Now the non-negotiable. Mono compatibility. Throw a utility on your drum bus or master temporarily and hit mono on and off while the snare plays. If the snap disappears in mono, don't immediately start EQing. Assume it's phase first. Reduce chorus mix, reduce chorus delay times or amount, then reduce snap utility width. If needed, bring body up a touch. You want this outcome. Mono still cracks, stereo just feels more exciting. Quick common mistakes to avoid. Don't widen the whole snare including the body. That's how you get an impressive solo snare that turns weak inside the full mix. Don't use long modulation times. At 174 BPM, too much time difference becomes audible as flams or weird smears. Don't over-verb the snap. At jungle tempo, tails make the rhythm feel slower. And don't blindly boost 5T because someone said snare crack lives there. Find the crack frequency in your actual sample. Be surgical. Now, a couple advanced upgrades if you want to push this even further. 1. Add multiband dynamics after chorus on the snap chain, lightly. Use it to control the 3 to 8K region so when you push width, it doesn't stab your ears. You can macro map the high band threshold so it becomes safety compression when I get excited. 2. Keep ghost notes narrower than main hits. Wide ghost notes blur swing and make the break feel slower. If your pattern uses velocity, automate snap width lower on the quieter hits or route ghosts through a tighter version of the rack. 3. If you need better translation on phones and small speakers, add a tiny tick layer under the snare. High pass it hard, like 5 to 8K. keep it mostly mono, and let that tick carry the click while your wide snap carries the vibe. Let's do a mini practice run so this isn't just theory. Build an 8-bar loop at 174 BPM. Bars 1 to 4, straight 2 and 4 snare. Bars 5 to 8, add some ghost notes or a small fill. Automate snap width from about 30% in the first half up to about 70% in the fill section. Ramp microspace up during the fill, then drop it to near zero on the next downbeat. And right on the drop point, push mono guard slightly so the snare recenters and hits like a stamp. Then do the mono check and adjust until mono retains crack and stereo only gets wider in the right moments. Finally, bounce two versions, one with the wide fill moments printed and one where the drop is tight and disciplined. A slash beat 'em. If your wide version only sounds better because it's louder, go back and fix the gain staging in your macro mappings. That's the whole technique. Split the snare into body, snap, and space. Widen only the high transient zone with short-time stereo tools, and build macros that behave like arrangement controls. Once you start automating these like musical gestures, your snare stop being static drum hits and start being part of the atmosphere without losing impact.